article saying Israel is behind the Beirut blast has gone viral globally. Today we speak to Gordon Duff, editor, Veterans Today. He speaks to us live from Ohio, United States of America. Gordon, good day to you and welcome to the program.
Hi, it's always good to be on Radio Islam.
Thank you for joining us, Gordon. We always appreciate you availing yourself. So, Gordon, why does Veterans Today believe Israel is behind the bombing?
Well, we used evidence, and some of that evidence since the bombing has been the crazy cover-up stories about an imaginary leaking ship and how someone decided to store 2,750, not 51, not 2,007, but exact number here, pretty close, of fertilizer in a food warehouse. And this fertilizer, ammonium nitrate, is a two-edged sword. It's either a fertilizer or it's a high explosive. No one would store it there. Now, let's even go even further. This is a little overwhelming even for us to deal with. First of all, we knew an attack was coming on Beirut. Benny Gantz had announced it on July 31st that he was going to attack Beirut and attack a major infrastructure target in retaliation for a Hezbollah attack, which the Israelis never reported and was far more severe than they ever let on. It wasn't somebody planting a bomb. They were hit pretty hard on Golan. And so we knew the attack was going to come. As soon as the attack happened, we got a call from a senior military officer in the command of the Lebanese army. And he reported immediately that they had two hits, one from a patrol boat offshore, an Israeli patrol boat. The warehouse district had been hit by, and very oddly enough, an anti-ship missile had come in and hit and started a fire. And then a few moments later, an F-16 dropped, and they used the term. This is from the Israeli, or from the Lebanese military, sorry. A Delilah missile with a, and this is, I'm quoting the Lebanese military here, with a tactical nuclear weapon on it. This is where we got our first word. Then I called the International Atomic Energy Agency, the UN group that investigates such things. And they came back to me in a half an hour saying that their station in Sicily had seen a major radiation spike of a fission event in the Eastern Mediterranean. A fission event, that's another word for either a nuclear power plant just exploded or someone dropped a nuclear weapon. And we published, they sent us their readings. And this is the slam dunk proof. There's no way of getting around that. Now, within a couple of hours, we got out of Lebanon, and this is from a blogger, a video still of a missile coming in. Now, we ran an analysis on this still. The still was in 4K. It's not off YouTube. And it looks like a missile coming in. But you never depend on evidence that's too good to be true sometimes. You're pretty careful about that. Then as things cleared up, we began analysis of the damage. We saw automobile fires that indicated that the air conditioning systems and every car in Lebanon's air conditioned. It'll be 115 degrees there today again. Nuclear explosions caused the freon in the air conditioning system to turn to deuterium and the cars explode, burning the engines up. And it's the radiation, when it hits the air conditioning system, that explodes the car. And this is what our sources at the IAEA, and we spoke to what was their chief investigator, Jeff Smith, said happened on 9/11, another issue we have about a nuclear explosion. some of the background in this is that we've worked with the IAEA for some years. I worked with the UN for 5 years as a diplomat. And the IAEA regularly reports that Israel and the United States use tactical nuclear weapons in the Middle East, that Israel used one against Damascus on the night of May 3rd, 4th of 2013. There have been three used in Yemen. The U.S. used a conventional nuclear weapon at the Baghdad airport during its invasion there in 2003, and that several have been used and disguised as bunker busters or mother of all bombs or whatever. Instead, there's no C-130 pushing a 20,000-pound bomb out. It's an F-16 dropping a 4, 5, or 6 kiloton dial-a-nuke, a standard weapon the U.S. uses, which burns all of its fuel, leaves radiation for 72 hours only. The radiation only goes out about a kilometer. It'll explode cars further than that. And then after that, if you don't have a soil sample tested, you'll have no residual radiation at all. Residual radiation fallout comes from unburned fuel, and bomb designs for the past 20 years for tactical weapons burn all of their fuel and can be used easily. Here in the U.S., we use small nuclear weapons for fracking, for getting junk oil out of the ground. And they're used all the time, and something we love lying about, but something we do here and around the world.
Yes. So the reason is that Veterans Today has come out with this and informed, and you've listed a number of reasons. If it is that clear, why is it that anyone else didn't see the jet? Why is that not being reported on?
First of all, there are Israeli jets over Beirut 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The range of a missile is considerable. The Israeli jets are over Beirut and certainly the Bekaa Valley every single day, and that's how they attack Syria. And these missiles have a range of 10 to 40 to 50 kilometers, the small ones, the larger ones, up to 250 kilometers. They're glide bombs. The photo looks very much like a glide bomb, but as far as seeing an Israeli plane in the sky at the time, the chances of doing that, noticing one of the 7 or 8 that are over Baghdad right now, which one did? It's not a question of, is there a plane? It's a question of which one. I keep saying Baghdad because it's beginning to remind me of Baghdad. When you go to Lebanon, a failed state, we know why this was done. We know it was done to cause additional political disarray, that Lebanon is totally melting down. And it's a way to try to displace, Hezbollah is last man standing in Lebanon politically. And the Israelis have their back against the wall. Netanyahu deals with demonstrations trying to remove him from office every single day. And we call this in the U.S., go attack your neighbor with a nuclear weapon. That's a wag the dog. Very easy to figure out. One more thing I might add about why this is so easy to deal with. The crater on the waterfront there where this hit is 593 feet across on average. That the port is built on solid rock. There is no conventional explosive when set off in an open area. Enclosed areas are different. In an open area where the blast goes up, that will leave a large crater. Not even 1,000 tons. Now, we figured what it would take for ammonium nitrate to do a crater of about 300 feet, and that would be 12,000 tons of ammonium nitrate on rock would leave a 300-foot crater about 7 or 8 feet deep. It wouldn't be very deep. This one looks to be about 40 feet deep. This is a similar crater to once we get in the U.S. from small fusion weapons, hydrogen bombs, not even nuclear weapons. The Hiroshima weapon wouldn't have made a crater. There was no crater like this in Hiroshima. It's very easy to see. Look at both here and Hiroshima and Nagasaki. So this was a certainly a ground burst. It was nuclear. The IAEA says it was 6 kilotons, that it was probably a bunker buster type munition. This is a simple report we have. The Lebanese army said it was a tactical nuclear weapon. The IAEA radiation detectors said a nuclear weapon went off there at the exact same time that explosion happened. I take that as a critical sign. And the cover stories we are getting are simply not plausible. And then we have one other person backing us up. President Donald Trump says it was a bomb, not a warehouse explosion. And President Donald Trump said he got this from Middle Eastern intelligence agency people. This is where he got his information from. So there's my word. There's the word of the IAEA. There's the word of the President of the United States. And against that, our reporters, who are all entirely on the payroll of the Zionist state. So who are you going to believe?
Yes.
And once you look at the numbers on, this is the most read article on Google this year thus far, I think we're pretty clear who's being believed.
On the other end, the questions are, why hasn't there been any retaliation attack yet on apartheid Israel?
Well, one of the things we did initially, there's always run to Russia. You know, I called VT Damascus. I talked to our bureau chief there. Russians are always there. We operate out of the lobby of the Damaros Hotel, where Russian intelligence maintains a little coffee and vodka shop in the corner of the lobby there. And so we ran over immediately and asked them for help. They called up Moscow. And Moscow is sending aid, mind you. But this relationship between Moscow and Netanyahu is a very strange one, almost like he has something on Putin. We watch the Israelis shoot down a Russian military aircraft, or at least arrange for it to be shot down, killing 24, and Russia did absolutely nothing. We watch the Israelis bombing the Syrian army while we know there are Russian advisors with it, and Russian advisors are being killed, and they just hide this as well. There's something very, very wrong there. As far as anyone reacting to this, the only people that can react, that would react, are Hezbollah. And what they do, you know, we can't say, but we expect a reaction. We expect more than that. We're expecting a war. It's going to break out again. There's very little question about this. It's only the American political race. You know, as of yesterday, and it's not a vote count necessarily, but the approval rating for the current government, which is the Republican Party and Donald Trump, is down to 13% in the United States. Now, around 25 to 30% of the people may like Donald Trump, but disapprove of his performance. But 13% is a number we have never seen. There's a disaffection in the United States that's unimaginable. And currently, Joe Biden, the opposing candidate, is so far ahead in the polls that unless the election is stopped, and Trump has already tried to do that, there's no question that Biden, who doesn't like the state of Israel very much, is going to be in office. So what people have is they have 90-some days before there is a regime change in the United States. And, you know, this is a time while Trump is still there that Israel feels it can get away with things, that it's protected. Now, the question here in the U.S. is based on Trump's evaluation, where he sides with Veterans Today, and he's a Veterans Today follower.
Yes.
Although we're not big fans, he's one of our most avid readers. So we find Trump and Israel on opposite sides, and American defense officials siding against Donald Trump on this. It's a very strange situation politically. It's new ground here for all of us.
Gordon, it's been fascinating chatting to you, and we appreciate the angle that you've come and enlightened us on. Thank you very much for your time.
Well, you're welcome, and it's always a joy to be on Radio Islam.
Thank you. Do well. Bye-bye. That was Gordon Duff chatting to us from Veterans Today. An article has gone viral saying that it wasn't just an explosion that took place in Beirut, but it was rather a attack by Israel, and he gave a number of stories or every angles to consider. He said that you know, the whole ammonium nitrate is a cover-up. Benny Gantz had announced that there's going to be an attack. He also spoke about the fact that the F-16 bombers of Israel had dropped the missile, which is the Dalila, and that the nuclear center in Sicily in Italy had detected some nuclear activity on the eastern Mediterranean. So that shows that it was really a nuclear bomb that was released, and that certain cars were exploding, and that's what happens when you have a nuclear explosion. He spoke about 4, 5, or 6 kilos of nuclear weapon that was released. So this is a different angle that's coming through that you don't see in the mainstream media.